they'll make it the second time. And that's the fun part for us as coaches, as teachers.
The hell's Kevin Stefanski talking about? Of course we're going to overreact.
That was, he knows you are.
Yeah, it's what we get paid to do, right?
I love when I watch these clips that are posted on the website or on social media when he goes, you know what, Daryl?
And then, like, sometimes you can just visualize the four-letter words running through his mind.
He's good to you.
I know he is.
He's good to you, but it's just he knows you, obviously, and you've covered the team for so long. But it makes me laugh sometimes when, because you obviously go at him. And look, I think the Browns beat people do a great job. But sometimes when he's like, you know, Daryl, that just cracks me up.
You really have to go there right now because I really don't want to talk
about
that.
It's good. It's good. Come on.
But he was great Friday. That clip was from the conversation with Ken and Anthony on Friday here on The Fan. And if you missed it, the entire interview is available on our YouTube channel. You can watch that. Kevin was in studio and yeah, I mean it is overreaction season has begun or will begin this week. It's OTAs, off-season training activities, which means they're just going to be in shorts and t-shirts and a helmet, and they're just going to do some calisthenics. They're going to run some routes. No real team stuff just yet. We're going to be I'm not. Just because I'm
yes,
too good.
You are.
Nope,
yes, you are.
I'm not. Nope.
Don't
I'm not
lie.
Doing it.
Don't
I am.
Lie.
I am too good to do this.
Oh,
I am not charting completions this week.
Who is? Name names, Daryl. Name names.
I will not name names, but I'm sure that better reporters than I will be charting completions and incompletions. I will not do that. You want to know why, Matt?
Hold on. Will you stand on the podium, and when Dylan Gabriel stands up there, will you get on the mic and say, I'm taller than him? Will you do that? Come on. That's viral stuff.
See, here's the thing. So, all right. So I have a few rules in life. Don't end up on TMZ. Don't go viral for the wrong reasons. Don't be the story. I've said on the air multiple times already that I'm taller than Gabriel is. By the way, at first, like, I was saying that facetiously, a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can confirm, Matt, I am in fact taller than Gabriel. Poor guy. But you know what? He's built like a tank. He really is. Like, he's built like a football player.
Yes.
And
I don't care how tall he is. Can he throw the football? Remember when people said Baker Mayfield was too small? I mean, come on. And I don't want to go there, but you know what I mean.
No, I hear you.
I think we joke about this whole thing and here we go with OTAs and all the guys will be out there. Like you said, I've never seen anything like this. I can't remember a time where a team went into, whether it's mini camp, OTAs, mandatory camp, training camp, and went, here are four guys. I mean, this is so Browns. It's so Browns.
Oh,
but there
man.
Is a level of excitement
and
about
guess
it
what?
And intrigue.
We have a chance to see each and every one of these guys start a game this year.
Well, that would be bad.
But I'm being sincere. I'm not being I'm being a little sarcastic, but there's a lot of truth behind my sarcasm.
No,
like there's a very good possibility that we see all four of these guys. And I got to be honest with you. The more I thought about this, like I get it. Like they've got a coming off a 3-win season, which was a complete unmitigated disaster. They've got to show fans we're trying to win, right? They bought Myles Garrett's happiness this offseason. He couldn't get out of here fast enough and get out of that organization fast enough, and then they gave him $40 million a year. And he's like, oh, yeah, I love the quarterback plan.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so you mean to tell me that Andrew Berry was like, yo, Miles, so here's what we got, my man. I'm going to give you $40 million a year. Kenny Pickett, we're going to trade for him. We're going to bring back Joe Flacco because I know your boys. We're going to draft a 5'11" quarterback from Oregon that couldn't beat Ohio State in the college football playoffs. And we're going to bring in Shedeur Sanders. Can I get your autograph on this piece of paper here, please. And I and Miles was like, hell yeah.
Sign me up.
Sign me up for another 5 years of this, please.
There's no way that they told him they were drafting Shador. I still to this day don't think that they were going to draft him. They ever thought in a million years that he would be there in the fifth round, and they're like, yeah, what the heck? Let's take a flyer on him, and that's what they did.
but it would be the most Brownsian thing for him to work out, right?
That'd be great. It'd be great for any of them to work out.
Like, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying, though, it would be the most Brownsian thing for the kid to work out. Like, fifth round, he was there on the board, and they're just like, ah, what the heck? Why not? We're throwing stuff against the wall as it is already. Why not? Let's just go ahead and do it, which is basically what they did.
Right.
Right.
Is it bad that I am semi-intrigued by Kenny Pickett? Is that a bad thing? I'm not saying I love him. I'm not saying, oh, great move. And, you know, oh, my gosh. I can recall how bad Matt Canada was as the offensive coordinator of the Steelers. No, I'm being serious. A couple of years ago.
Canada. So, oh, sorry.
You know, and I love Canada. Not Matt Canada, but I love Canada. But I think Kenny Pickett, with the right staff and with some confidence, can maybe be something. Am I an idiot for thinking that?
Well,
he hasn't really gotten a second chance.
I don't think calling you an idiot would be nice of me to do.
You could call me.
No, I'm not going to do that.
How did he?
You want to know why? Because I'm above that. I'm above that childish behavior.
All right. So am I wrong in thinking that somehow he could be something?
You might want to seek help. Okay.
Yes, that's more like it.
I watched him for 2 years with the Steelers.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. I can admit that.
And
he was bad. Of course he was bad.
I mean, well, but he was an upgrade over DTR. But then again, me on one leg was an upgrade from DTR. Okay.
But like, okay.
He might be the worst quarterback I ever saw in my life.
Kenny Pickett or DTR?
No, DTR.
Oh, okay.
And again, I've watched 40 of these guys roll through Cleveland. So again, not a compliment.
Charlie Fry was better than DTR?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Other maybe not in that game against Seattle, he wasn't, but like,
that's what I was about to say.
Hey, you know what? Listen, only the Cleveland Browns could be the only team in NFL history to trade their week one starter right after getting their butts handed to them in week one. There have been many wonderful, well, not so much wonderful, but many unique things. It's a unique experience being a Browns fan. It's also a unique experience covering the Cleveland Browns because you see things that never in your life could you imagine. And typically most of them are not very good.
Well, do you remember when Detroit started? I think it was, I don't remember what year it was. Charlie Batch started week one.
Oh, yeah.
They bench him, bring in Ty Detmer, and he throws seven picks at Cleveland Browns Stadium. And the Browns beat the Lions. I mean, that was, that's historic stuff.
Well, hey, you know, Ty Detmer lasted all of one game as the Browns starter before Carmen Policy was like, yeah, we're going to put Tim Couch on the field.
That's right.
We are willing to sat. It was so, because, and going into that inaugural season of the expansion Browns, like Policy was like, we're going to make the playoffs. And I remember hearing him say, I'm like, this guy's on something. He is outside his mind. There is no chance the Cleveland Browns as an expansion team are making the playoffs in year one, right? And their first win coming back was the Tim Couch Hail Mary in New Orleans against the Saints.
Epic.
And they celebrated that like they just won the Super Bowl. And for them that year, it was the Super Bowl. But, you know, the first 2 years, Chris Palmer went 2-2 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, and then it just all, you know, went south from there. Chris Palmer has there's a trivia question for you. Best winning percentage against the Pittsburgh Steelers in this expansion era. It's Chris Palmer, 500. 2-2.
I don't know. I was listening to Stefanski with the guys, and I just, he did say nice things about Kenny Pickett. And I'm just saying,
what are you expecting him to say? Not nice things about Kenny Pickett.
But I thought, and you and I talked about it pre-show. There wasn't a ton of stuff that was of substance. Look, all these, the head coach is not going to come into studio and drop bombs and bombshells and all of that.
He did not tell us who the starting quarterback is going to be this year. And I'm really disappointed in him for that.
Oh, come on. It's May. I thought he handled it well.
Listen, you're right. It is May. And you know what? I'm reaching for something, anything. Give me a little something, something right now, okay? Because charting completions for four quarterbacks ain't it for me.
Well,
not in May.
He did the best he could.
I know.
But he did say some nice things. He did say some nice things about Pickett. And I'm just saying, the guy's 26.
You're all aboard the Kenny Pickett train, aren't
you? No, don't.
Yeah, I
don't
know. That's not what I'm saying. Sounds like you are.
I'm saying I'm intrigued. I don't hate him.
Meredith's on my side. She thinks you're on the Kenny Pickett train here. Are you campaigning for him to be the week one starter, Matt?
I don't think he's going to be.
Don't bring me into this.
Oh, no, I'm totally dragging you into this.
I don't think he's as bad as he looked in Pittsburgh. Now, is he going to be decent? I don't know. But I think under Matt Canada, Tomlin, that situation, that offense.
You think Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees are going to sprinkle a little magic fairy dust and that's going to. I mean, he couldn't get worse.
Sure, put me
right?
down for it. Sure, put me down.
Okay, all right. I just want to get you on the record, that's all.
I think he'll start week one. I watched Joe Flacco play for the Colts last year.
Okay.
I know what he did 2 years ago here, and it was awesome. But I just think the safe route, and maybe they found something route, would be in Pickett in week one. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to hurt for me to say.
Yeah.
I might have to agree with Matt Derry, and I'm going to explain why. That's coming up next. It's the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. No Ken, no Lima. They're stuffing their faces with barbecue today. We're with you till 10 here on The Fan. Music to the ears of Matt Derry.
Let's go, baby.
He is on board the tiny Kenny Pickett trade. Here we go. Geez.
Yeah, all right, fine. Just throw me under the bus, Daryl. That's fine.
You put yourself under the bus, my man.
I said I thought there might be something there. I'm going to put him in the, to quote my friends at Pro Football Focus, I'm going to put him in the veterans capable of solid play class. How about that?
That's kind of what we've come to in Cleveland when it comes to quarterbacks. Can we just get you not to just stink to high heaven? Can we get you just not to blow it every week?
Oh, man.
That's the bare minimum we ask here. We're not asking for Pro Bowls. We're not asking for first team all NFL. We're not even asking you need to be in the MVP conversation.
Was it the Denver game last year? Someone was texting me, a friend of mine.
Did Jameis Winston threw for 500 yards and threw six touchdowns, but four of them went to the Denver Broncos? Yes, that was the game.
It was the text that said, I think the Browns have their quarterback. And then 5 minutes later, the text was, never mind, never mind, never mind.
Because Jameis giveth and Jameis taketh.
Man, oh, man. What a week of OTAs you're going to have.
I can't wait. Can you not hear the excitement in my voice? And if you can't, I just would like to apologize to you for that.
It is entertaining. You can't say the Browns aren't entertaining.
Actually, yes, I can. last season was not the least bit entertaining. Two games. Two games were entertaining last year. The snowball game at home, that was fun to watch. And then the Jameis 498 yards against the Broncos, but he threw a couple of pick sixes, and it was fun to watch, but agonizing to think about. The guy sets a franchise record, and it also at the same time lost.
If I didn't laugh, I'd cry. This is like four different Daryls all in one today.
Yeah, you know.
I love it.
As I look up at the TV, the local station right now is showing B-roll of Dylan Gabriel throwing footballs.
I'm being dead serious about this, Daryl.
Yeah.
Can we stop with the Dylan Gabriel height thing? It drives me nuts.
The height. So does that mean I can't make fun of Kenny Pickett's hands either?
You can. That's a real thing.
So is his height. He's 5'11".
But I think there's been plenty of quarterbacks, including one in this town when you and I were growing up. Well, maybe me, but Brian Sipe, who is not exactly 6'3".
And won the MVP.
And won games.
You didn't think I knew that, did you?
What, Brian Sipe?
That he won the MVP, yeah.
The Cyper Bowl?
The Cyper
Bowl. How old are you?
I'm 47.
Oh, okay. So, yes. All right. You're right.
You're a little shocked by that, aren't you, huh?
You're a young guy, Daryl. I'm actually commending you.
I am 47. I feel like I'm 77, and I act like I'm 17.
That I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I'm just saying if the kid can play, all right? And look, the night when they announced his name when he was drafted, I went, Dylan Gabriel, what are they doing?
I did the same thing, and I did it for like the next 2 weeks after that.
But if he can play, my point is I don't care how tall he is. That's my whole thing.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Drew Brees is short, Wilson, too, and he, you know. Right. Maybe they found the next Drew Brees, right?
Right. Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I remember when Russell Wilson came out, it was the same thing. You know, he couldn't make it at NC State. He's too small. And he won a Super Bowl. So, I don't know. I know that's
And now his career is pretty much over.
For sure. For sure. I mean, 36 years old with the Giants. Good luck. But I do think that if Gabriel, it's so early, it's May, but if he can throw the rock around and he's got some confidence, I don't care how tall he is. I just think that stuff gets so blown out of proportion.
I think that what they did this offseason is try to find some guys that can fit within structure, because they're going to need structure if they're going to be successful. It's part of the reason they drafted two running backs. It's part of the reason they drafted a tight end. I think that you're going to see this offense this year be a very precise timing style offense. Yeah, they're going to take their shots down the field to keep defenses honest, but I really think you're going to see a rollback and them trying to run the type of offense that they ran with Baker Mayfield, where it was timing routes and run the football down their throat. Because I don't think it's fair to really put a lot on any of these guys. Like Joe Flacco's at the end of his career. That's the nicest way I can put that. You've got Kenny Pickett. You're just hoping to find lightning in a bottle here. He's your guy, and you can have him. He's your guy. No, that's fine. He's your guy. It's fine. We all got our guys.
I mean, it's not exactly a great crop of apples sitting in that basket.
Well, you got to pick someone, right?
I'll pick that one.
Okay,
sure.
All right. Yeah, and then, you know, you got two kids that you're hoping you maybe find something for, right? And when you watch the film for both of these kids, they're accurate passers. And, you know, you understand why the Browns took a shot on both of them, is my point.
Sure.
So we have reached the throw stuff against the wall and pray something sticks portion of our program in the Cleveland Browns never-ending quarterback carousel that has gone 40 deep. We'll see if we get when we get number 41, and then do we get 42, and we get up to 43, because Joe doesn't. We can't count Joe twice. He's already on the jersey. But I think you made a point.
That jersey. Oh God. Keep going. I'm sorry.
That thing is like a scroll now. It's no longer a jersey. It's just a scroll.
It's phenomenal.
It needs to be in a sanctuary somewhere. You can pick the religious denomination that you want to put the scroll in.
Oh, my God.
But I don't think divine intervention is going to fix this either. No. Even though I think Bears fans and White Sox fans feel like the new Pope is going to fix their teams for them, right? They now have a connection to the Almighty because the Pope is from Chicago. The Bears.
The Bears are off-season champs.
Yeah.
Another banner in Chicago.
We
another
know all about off-season championships here in Cleveland.
That's right. That's
but
right.
To your point about that you made last segment about Kenny Pickett and why I tend to agree with you, even though he's your guy, and, you know, best of luck.
sure.
In that,
sure, whatever.
Put your money where your mouth is. Okay,
sure, Daryl. Whatever. Sure, Jan.
Is there a line somewhere? Is there? Know. I'm not a sports betting guy, but like, is there odds on? I'm sure there's odds on the Browns starting quarterback somewhere.
No, but hold on. But speaking of odds,
okay.
Our friends in Vegas. This came out 2 days ago. Our friends in Vegas now have the Browns going from 5.5 wins down to 4.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over on that all day.
The season total is now at 4.5 at many of the books out in Vegas. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, take the over on that. Get it while it's good, because I think the Browns are going to win at least 6 games this year.
How about that?
I've got them doubling their win total, which for Kevin Stefanski, that might be coach of the year material. if they're able
again
to do that.
Well, with, he is.
With these four quarterbacks.
He
but
is
to your
coach
point,
of the year.
I think it makes sense to start Kenny Pickett. I really do. Because the more I think about this situation, as much as I respect what Joe Flacco did when he came here, got dusted off a couch, I mean, the dude was like, I don't know, throwing in cornfield somewhere to his dad or something. And he they get, I think they squeezed the last great football. I mean, and that was a career stretch for him. Those five games, like, that stacked up amongst the best 5 weeks in a regular season in his entire career. And this is a guy that won a Super Bowl and was Super Bowl MVP. But when I look at, like, philosophically, where they're at right now, I don't know what, other than you're selling to the fans, hey, we're trying to win, and that's why we're starting Joe Flacco. I don't know. If you really want to see what you have in Kenny Pickett, if you really want to see what you have in Dylan Gabriel, if you really want to see if Shedeur Sanders can do anything right now as a rookie, I don't know what sense it would make philosophically, again, other than just to put the illusion out there for fans. I don't know what sense it makes to start Joe Flacco. I really don't. And I don't know how many reps we're going to see this offseason during OTAs. I mean, Stefanski's on record as saying that, you know, it's not going to be 25% reps for each guy. It's going to be a practice by practice, and each practice might be weighted for a different guy, and not to read anything into that stuff. But Matt, I mean, the more I'm thinking about this, the more you might be onto something here.
Joe Flacco, God bless him, is perfect in that role of a mentor and a backup. I just don't think he's a starter anymore. And I know 2 years ago was not that far away that he was leading this team to the playoffs and an appearance in Houston. But I think the young kids, and I know, look, the Shedeur thing is just going to take off because everyone's talking about it. Everybody wants to see him. But he was a fifth-round pick for a reason. Dylan Gabriel, in a bad quarterback class where guys went ahead of him like Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel's not a starter either.
Yeah.
So if Flacco's not, then the one guy left is a guy that has started games, played for a lousy offensive coordinator in Matt Canada, and I think just needs a second chance and had the perfect role last year of a backup in Philly in a great system, learning and breathing and holding a clipboard behind Jalen Hurts. And I just think that gives the Browns an opportunity to look at him, assess him, and go, this might be the guy that is capable of solid play, like I said. And
the bar is really low. We're just rooting for solid play.
Of course it is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Daryl, oh, this is Matt Derry on the other end here. No, Kenny Pickett's the guy. Of course I'm not saying that. I
don't know. It sounded like a little bit. I feel like you're straddling the fence, man. I'm sorry.
I'm saying I'm intrigued by his talent and that he's only 26 and was in an offense in Pittsburgh that was so bad and so poorly constructed and run by an offensive coordinator that will never be an OC in the NFL again. That's all I'm saying. So
that's what you think. There have been many coordinators who are like, yeah, that guy's never doing this again. And then they get recycled. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that. Now, am I saying he's going to be great? No. I'm not even saying he's going to be good, but in this league, there are plenty of teams still. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings had a quarterback last year that won them 14 football games and they let him walk. They said, nah, not good enough. We're intrigued by the young kid that we have in J.J. McCarthy. And look, J.J. McCarthy is different than Kenny Pickett. He was drafted in the first round, but he hasn't had a chance yet. I'm just saying I think he can be capable of solid play and and average enough that we go, all right, we might have something here.
I just love you can't say that with a straight face.
I'm trying, Daryl. I'm trying.
You get an A for effort,
just
but
play along? Jeez. So
Oh, I am. He's totally your guy.
Oh my God. When he throws that, own that. Listen
but
to
you
me.
Know what? What if he starts and he plays well, you get to do the champions pose, right? That's what they call that on this show. You get to do the champions pose if that actually happens.
On Wednesday, at what point are you texting me from OTA's game? God, you are a clown.
Play by play of every throw.
Like, He just threw the ball to the third string linebacker. You're way off. I'll be looking at my phone waiting for you.
Oh, so. I can't wait to overreact to every single throw. Oh, I can't wait.
This is fun.
You can't hear the excitement in my voice while you just aren't understanding this Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show.
Well, hold
with
on.
Anthony Lima.
Well, I'm going to look back at some of your old tweets. There's
yeah, please
be something
don't.
That, in there
there's
that
just
says,
not, there are two bad things on social media. One, looking back at old tweets, and two, checking the mentions.
That's, I'm gonna during the break, I'm going to do a
you
search.
Go ahead and do that.
Daryl Ryder, DTR. There's got to be a tweet in there from you from like 2 years ago.
Where I'm like,
DTR
this guy's the franchise
good.
Quarterback.
DTR looks good. He's not so bad.
May or may not.
There's got to be something somewhere.
You would do something like that. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Size might not matter to the Cleveland Browns, and they've proven that in the quarterback room. However, neither does where you get drafted. And I'll explain that next with Matt here on The Fan. Talking about the two youngsters, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Of course, all eyes are going to be on Shedeur Sanders because they always are. He loves the cameras. He loves the microphones. Everybody loves the cameras on Shedeur. And can't get enough of them, so I guess we're going to be charting his passes. Matt Derry wants me to chart Kenny Pickett passes.
You're not going to let this go, are you?
No. You're all in. And you know
I'm
what?
I'm all in, yes. Okay.
I would have more respect for you if you just embraced it.
I said, fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
I see. I'm doing to you what Ken and Anthony usually do to me. And,
oh, yeah, no. I listen intently, and they do pick on you. And sometimes I think it's unfair. But sure, that's fine. By the way, I saw Shedeur Sanders do a one-on-one with Andrew Siciliano. I've seen Shedeur Sanders sit down with the NFL Network people. When am I getting a Daryl Ryder Shedeur one-on-one? When is that happening?
Probably never.
What? Why not? Can we get the Browns on that? This is the flagship station. Let's go.
I can put in a request.
Yes, I want to see that.
We got some things in the works. I don't want to give too much away. But we got some cool things that are in the works here at the station. Okay. The hint is, if you missed any of the Kevin Stefanski interview with the boys on Friday morning, you can go to our station YouTube page and you can watch all 30 fabulous minutes of it. And by the way, when good. I am with Ken and Anthony and they are picking on me, I'm usually sponsored by Scheiben Jewelers. Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But they're not here. Matt and I are because it is Memorial Day. By the way, I do want to mention this. Take a moment, if you can today, and reflect why you get to hang out with your family, your friends. You get to enjoy the good food, the barbecue, the camaraderie, the games, whatever it is you're going to do today. And think about the folks who went overseas to allow us to do things like this today. And they did not get to come home to their family and friends. And that is why we all get to enjoy this holiday. So I just wanted to pass that along. Just take a little moment to appreciate the sacrifices made on our behalf. A lot of folks have not come home to their families. And I know their families miss them dearly. And that's why we are here today.
No doubt. Laid the foundation we stand on, my man.
And why I get to make fun of you for being a Kenny Pickett stan.
All right.
And we can laugh about the fact that it is a four-man quarterback competition. By the way, Meredith looked it up for us in the break. Are you ready for the starting quarterback odds there, Matt?
Yeah, let's do
all
it.
Right, here we go. Meredith, what do we got? What are our starting our odds, who's going to win the starting job in, I don't know, at the end of August or beginning of September or in week 7?
So as of right now, the betting favorite for the starting quarterback for week 1 is Kenny Pickett.
Hey!
At minus 100.
Music to Matt Derry's ears. There we go.
Do we want to guess?
My boy.
Do we want to guess? I know Daryl literally bullied you into Kenny Pickett fandom over here.
Fine.
Do you want to guess who is the betting favorite for the number 2?
I would say I bet it's Shedeur Sanders.
Daryl?
I'm going to say Dylan Gabriel.
No, it is Shedeur Sanders. Matt got it right. So yeah, Kenny Pickett, the betting favorite, at minus 100 for week one. Shedeur Sanders plus 175.
Vegas got no love for Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco at all.
Wow.
I think there is a crowd, and there's the gambling crowd, and obviously Vegas knows sometimes, that thinks that Shedeur will look so good in training camp.
If Kevin Stefanski told Vegas what he's doing with the starting quarterback, Kevin and I are going to have a conversation.
No, he didn't. I'm just saying, I think that the betting people think if, in fact, he looks the part and looks the part at times when he was in Colorado looking very good, that the Browns will just go, what the hell? Let's just go with it, you know?
Well, I kind of feel like that's the motto for this season. Nah, what the hell?
The hell with it?
No, what the hell? Nah, why not?
No, but, you know, and we were going to bring this up. Pro Football Focus, this is the first time that when they do their division grades and rankings, that they haven't had the AFC North in the top three. PFF does not believe that the AFC North is as strong as usual and has it graded out as the fourth best division in football right now, with the best being the NFC North.
Well, you had the Ravens win the division again. Steelers made the playoffs and were immediately ceremoniously dismissed in the wild card round, as they are each and every other year. The Bengals did not make the playoffs, and the Browns were god awful. So I kind of get where PFF's coming from. Who do they have as their best division? NFC North.
Yeah, NFC North, number one, AFC West, number two.
Ooh.
And NFC West, number three.
Oh,
with the Cardinals kind of up and coming. The Rams are solid. Seahawks believe with Darnold they'll be good. And obviously, San Francisco's been good, although they're probably taking a step back. But AFC North is usually always top three and usually at the very top. But like you said, Pittsburgh's got major issues at quarterback, and who knows if this 9-8, 10-7 routine will finally burst. Browns or the Browns.
Know, every year I like try and predict the Steelers' demise, and I bask in the glory of trying to predict their demise, and every year I end up wrong. I have given up and have accepted the fact that they're going to win between 8 and 10 games every year. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to lose on wild card weekend. Steeler fan is going to ask for Mike Tomlin to be fired. Mike Tomlin is not going to be fired, and rinse and repeat.
It's been the same, but they've been good. But you look now, I mean, who's quarterbacking that team right now? Mason Rudolph? Will Howard? At least right now.
I never thought I'd say this, but I think the Browns quarterback situation looks a lot better than the Steelers. And we don't have any. We got four guys competing for the job. We have no idea who's going to end up with this thing. I still feel better about the Browns quarterback situation than I do the Steelers. And I can't believe those words fell out of my mouth, and I said them with a straight face.
But it's true. Like, and this is kind of an interesting question, because you said you would take over 4.5 wins.
Yeah. That's easy money.
So that's the Vegas number for win total. Yet the division's the weakest it's been in years. And PFF goes as far as say it's the fourth best. Usually AFC North is always at the top, and it's not this time. And look, Baltimore's still good. Like you said, the Bengals, bit of a circus with what's happening with Trey Hendrickson there. Do they have enough defense? Is he going to not even play? Is he going to ask for a trade? And really, hold out? I mean, there's a lot of issues there, and the Steelers have issues, and the Browns have issues. So, first time in a while I can remember AFC North not being as strong as folks think it is.
It's a three-team race for last place in the AFC North.
It is. Completely.
If we're being honest
the Bengals will finish last.
I mean...
With that ownership, you never know.
What I'm saying. And also, too, like, I did not expect them... Like, I expected them to make the playoffs last year, and they're... Look, I've seen wet paper bags provide more resistance than the Bengals' defense, okay?
They fired their DC. I mean, Lou's gone, so. But I can't remember a time where people ranked three divisions ahead of the AFC North. This is a first. Remember, it was just a couple years ago. Browns were in the playoffs. Steelers were knocking on the door. Bengals were in the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
That's what's frustrating about where the Browns are at right now. Opportunity knocks, and
it is there,
and they're kind of stuck in the mud here a little bit because they've got to get this quarterback thing situated. And look, I get it; it is what it is, right? There's no use complaining about the Sean situation. It is what it is. It doesn't move anything forward by bemoaning that situation. But you hope that Dylan Gabriel can play taller. You hope that Kenny Pickett can spin it. And you hope that Shedeur Sanders is able to adapt to the National Football League, and maybe the little things in his game that may have caused him to fall, he's able to clean those things up and develop. I kind of feel like Shedeur, I don't like putting a lot on him because I'm treating him like he's a fifth-round pick. If he works out, great. That's gravy for the Browns, right? But if he doesn't work out, I promise you, I'm not going to rip the kid, and I'm not going to rip the Browns because he was taken in the fifth round.
They did well with it.
Yeah,
they did well with it.
When you take a kid in the fifth round, you're taking a shot in the dark.
Yeah, I have no issue with it. I don't. I would have had an issue with it if they would have taken him at number two. I would have been like, what are they doing? It's different when and there was so much hype around it and so much talk, but putting him in this spot, I don't mind it at all.
You're going to have a real. I know what you're going to have an issue with. I just figured it out.
What's that?
You're going to have real beef if Kenny Pickett's not starting week one. Just hit me.
You're really riding this thing, Daryl. Jeez.
Well, it is a holiday, which means it's low hanging fruit day for me.
Look, I just said I'm intrigued.
Well, you know, hey,
I'll go out on a limb. Sure.
There's nothing wrong with being intrigued. I mean, at this point in May, if you're intrigued by anything the Cleveland Browns are doing, God bless you. It's May.
I think Jonathan Peterlin could win the job. I mean,
let's not get carried away.
Let's just throw in anybody right now.
Let's not get carried away.
But the division is there to at least, and I know the Browns' schedule is brutal. They have to play the NFC North.
Oh, man.
For a team that, like you said, finished in last place, has to play this schedule. But the division is not as strong. It's crazy to me.
I feel like they got a first-place schedule finishing last.
I know. It just happens to be they're playing the best division, and they got to play NFC North, got to come to Detroit, play there. It's not going to be easy. So,
hey, you know what? I can't wait for that game against Detroit. It's the regular season edition of the Great Lakes Classic. Never has a game
GLC
that meant so little. The barge is on the line. Best trophy in sports. By the way, Each team has one. Each team
they
has
do?
A barge, yes.
Oh, man, they got to bring that out.
And I'm telling you, that thing is heavy. I almost gave myself a hernia because I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lift this thing with my arms. No big deal. Yeah, bad idea. Needed to lift that thing with the legs. That thing is heavy. That is a two-man job. Let me tell you. Best trophy in sports, even better than the Larry O'Brien trophy. And up next, we are going to talk about what it's going to take for the Cavaliers to add another Larry O'Brien. The Larry they got over at Rocket Arena, a little lonely, needs a little company. What's it going to take for the Cavaliers to give him some help, give him some little company there in the trophy case? We're going to talk about it next. It's Daryl Ryder, Matt Derry, in for the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lama here on a Memorial Day. That is Cavaliers General Manager Kobe Altman at the congratulations for winning 64 games in the regular season, winning Coach of the Year, winning Defensive Player of the Year, All-NBA teams, but a lot being put on Evan Mobley there, Matt. And for as good as a player I think that Evan Mobley already is and will be, I do think that if we're expecting Mobley is the guy that's like, that's the solution to all these problems the Cavaliers have when it comes to the mental toughness, the physical toughness, I think we're fooling ourselves.
Well, I don't know if I'm not sure if he's saying he's going to be the guy. I think he's saying we go as he goes. It's the same thing with Cat and the Knicks. Cat showed up last night in the fourth quarter in the Knicks won. When Karl Anthony Towns does not play well and there are games, especially on the offensive end, that he's a no-show, they lose. It's that simple. So Donovan Mitchell is still the guy. Can I say the last names, by the way? Am I allowed to do that in this town?
Yeah.
It's the Everybody calls the Cavs players by their first names like they're friends with them. Do you notice that? It's like, oh, Donovan and Evan and Darius. Why do we do that with this team? Jeez.
You want to know why?
It's annoying.
I think because they're just such personable guys. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Professionally, most enjoyable team I've ever been around.
Really?
Okay. It's not even close. Not like by a mile.
So they're too nice?
Just, well, I'm not saying that.
That's great.
But
nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I've never been in a locker room where, you know, we're in there interviewing guy and they're just busting each other's chops left and right. They're campaigning for their teammates to win awards.
You want that.
The vibes were immaculate, as I think Jared Allen once said this season. But now, for me, I'm past vibes are immaculate. Like, I think they need a little more pit bull in them.
No question.
And, I think it's great. I think you can be, like, good guys and good players. But when you get between the lines, all that's got to go out the window. Like, Jared Allen is one of the nicest professional athletes I have ever met. He has a unique sense of humor, and I mean that in a complimentary way. He's got a dry wit about him. His hobbies are fascinating. He builds computers and stuff. But when he's on the floor, he's too nice. Like, I need Jared Allen to be mean when he's on the floor.
Right. When Mathurin shoves DeAndre Hunter to the ground and Jared Allen's just standing there, like, you're right. Run over there and shove Mathurin. Somebody do something.
Mathurin punched DeAndre, and that's when DeAndre shoved him. And, you know, Jared's just kind of like, so that happened, huh? I'll just be over here.
Nobody's asking Jared Allen to be Draymond Green.
Right.
And be a psycho out there at times. And Draymond is a fantastic player and talent. I think at times crosses the line. You're not asking Jared Allen to do that, but I think you bring up a good point. I mean, you're asking all these guys to bring up that edge factor just a little bit.
Yep.
Nobody is saying break up the team. Nobody is saying, oh, 64 wins, but it was a nice...
Donovan Mitchell is... I'm sorry, I called him Donovan. I apologize. Donovan Mitchell...
Yes.
Is one of the most down-to-earth superstar players I've ever covered as well. That's what I was getting at. When he's on the floor, he's got the killer instinct. Okay. The problem is when he's scoring and going bananas, right? The Cavs lose. If he hits 40, the Cavs lose more than they win, and that's not good. Right? I kind of feel like Donovan's sweet spot is between 25 points and 38 points. If he's scoring in that range, which he does on a consistent, but I'm just saying, like, if he's in that range, the Cavs usually win. If he's above that, if he's at 40 and above, Cavs usually lose. And I don't get it, but that tends to be the case, Matt. We got a Cavs call here. Let's head on out to North Olmsted, 216-474-0092, if you want to chime in. Andy's standing by. Andy, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself, you guys?
We're doing okay.
Hey, I got a question for each of you. I'll start with Matt with the Guardians. I'm not an Arias or Lane Thomas guy. I'm definitely an in on Angel and Schneeman. Getting back Bieber and Fry are going to help immensely. And DeLotter, yes, of course, is our lottery ticket. So having said that, Matt, can you please, from a Guardian standpoint, give me the names of a few right fielders that you're targeting that are potential trade targets? Because I want to start looking into that more.
Andy, it's funny, and I said this earlier on the show, we talked Guardians. Detroit's going to be in the same boat as us in terms of wanting to add a bat and likely a right-handed bat. So, and there's right now, there's not a lot of options in terms of what teams are probably looking to give up right now. I mean, and you're also talking May. That's the thing. Like, a Bo Bichette is somebody that Blue Jays, I think, are definitely trading. I think Yandy Diaz is going to be traded by the Rays. But, like, yeah, I mean, right now, like you just said it, the hope is probably DeLauder or CJ Kafis one of these days coming up here. But I don't foresee them making a move, especially now that Ben Lively's out. You're down a starter. So, but I'm with you, man. Hang with them. But right now, right field's just been a black hole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still not giving up on Jen Kenzie, though, from the right side. From a one swing of the bat type of guy, he's a lot better, I think, than Nolan Jones. Nolan Jones, to me, just isn't a power hitter. Daryl, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm on the hot seat. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Daryl, big Cavs fan, obviously. Whenever you mention the phrase five man out, that's when Kenny Atkinson lights up like a Christmas tree.
It's okay? True. You're not wrong.
Okay. So having said that, I listening to Kobe's press conference, obviously Mobley is 1A, 1B, and 1C. That's all he talked about.
Yep.
But he also used the word if a few times. If we're a second apron team, I really think that his focus is to try and get out of the second apron for one more year. Because you know what happens in 1 year from now, you guys. It's Donovan Mitchell's situation. 380, 5 years. Let's be honest. And that's through his mid-30s. So I think
they got one more year after this year, if I'm remembering correctly, because he signed a three-year extension, which starts next year.
Yeah,
you're right, Daryl, but I'm thinking if you ever want to move him, you don't want to be in that decision year.
Yeah, but I don't ever want to move him. That's the thing. No. I want to keep him here as long as I can.
Okay, but having said that, Daryl, I have to ask you this, okay? What do you think? Because I think if they move anyone to try to get under the apron, it's going to be Isaac or possibly J.A. What do you think about the Nets in Atlanta? And keep this in mind, because it's hard because you can't aggregate salaries as
right.
second apron. What do you think? And both of those teams have these large salary trade exceptions sitting on the sideline. What would you think about J.A., because the Nets have money, going back to the Nets, and obviously they absorb it with the money, but maybe we get De'Ron Sharp and we get draft capital? What do you think about that?
Andy's geeking
just getting
out.
I know. I got to fire up my NBA trade machine there, Andy, and thanks so much for the call. My goodness gracious. I got to think about that.
I mean, De'Ron Sharp is not as talented as Jared Allen, but
he's
active as hell. He's younger.
And keep in mind, Kobe said in his wrap up there, and I posted the video. I cut the video of it where he spoke about he feels that Jared's getting a bum rap, and he feels that and I realized, you know, press conference sound bites are not sworn testimony here, right? But
no,
he said that if you think that trading Jared Allen is going to be a positive for the Cavaliers, think again. So I don't know. I do like the I did pick up on him a couple of times saying if they are a second apron team. Let's go to Chuck. How about that, Matt? Let's go to Chuck. He wants to talk some Cavaliers as well. Chuck, you're next up on the Fan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy holidays to you guys.
Thanks, Chuck.
Back at you.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up the fact that I don't know who does the scouting for the Cavs, but it seems like they got a certain criteria that they want out of players. Like, you know, we want them to be nice. We don't want guys that's going to start trouble in the locker room. And I think it starts there, so they don't get these guys. They get a lot of nice guys with nice personalities, nice backgrounds, which –
culture.
You don't have to go out and get a thug.
Culture. That's what they focused on, Chuck. They focused on culture. Culture is very important to them. And I understand why. I mean, it's a big reason they've gotten to where they're at. But now's the time to kick it into gear.
But the thing is, you know, Kobe Altman seems like he's just passing out these big contracts. And when these guys don't pan out to be what you expect them to be, it's hard to move them with contracts. And look at Okoro's contract and, you know, just think if they wanted to move Darius, I mean, you know, or Allen. I mean, these guys got some multi-million-dollar contracts. Nobody's going to pick them contracts up when these guys are playing like, you know, Mr. Softy. You know.
Well, I'll say this. It only takes one GM to make a trade and to acquire any of these guys. I think they're going to run it back based off they won 64 games. But it probably is going to be a mid-level exception guy, a veteran free agent like a Kevon Looney, somebody like that, maybe even Steven Adams, that comes in and adds an edge that's willing to take the mid-level.
Okay, so what happens if the core four don't do anything again this year? They're going to break it up or try to do it again? I mean, it's just the same thing.
I think with the Kenny Atkinson, you have to run it back one more year. It was his first year coaching.
I'm talking about in 26 season, if they do the same thing, can't get past the second round or you know, something like that. What do you do? Just do it again in 2027?
No. I think it's one more year of this.
And thanks for the call, Chuck. Appreciate it. We got to scoot there. By the way, all of our guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, well, for today's show, you're our guest at 216-474-0092. Appreciate the call. Had to move on there. But, that is the challenge that the Cavaliers find themselves in with that second apron. They are limited. And I've got to think that one of Kobe's priorities, though, Matt, is going to be maybe trying to pick up a trade exception to get them under at least that second apron.
The second apron discussion, it's become like a drinking game.
Yeah, but it's reality.
It is reality.
It is reality.
I think it's
as much reality as your love for Kenny Pickett.
Fans just want to win. They don't care if Gilbert's spending over the cap and paying the tax, which he is, and you got to give him credit for that.
Yep, pay my money.
But I think they're looking up, going, we won 64 games, and I think everybody thought, oh, with the way the seeding goes and how it went and not having to face Boston until the conference finals, oh, we're into the conference finals. And Indiana popped them. And it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So that's what's disappointing about this. And now you're watching the Pacers and how deep they are and how edgy they play. And even though they lost last night, but we're still up 20. And that's where you kind of shake your head. But I don't think you break this up and go, oh, we suck just because they lost to Indiana, but there's some changes that have to be made, and I think they're going to be okay. I do.
Well, time flies when we're having fun. Time to put a bow on this one, the Memorial Day edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. No Ken and Anthony. It's Daryl and Matt with you till 10 here on The Fan. Anybody food poisoning accidentally, I'm going to stop by and get a side dish. Now, I'm debating between potato salad and macaroni salad. Do I go both? Or do I go potato, or do I go macaroni? What say you?
I say both and bring beer.
Wow, both and I got to bring beer. Yes. Okay, all right.
People know you. You're a local celebrity, Daryl. If you show
up,
man. If you show up with both and you bring some beer. And go,
it's a coworker.
It's a coworker?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a coworker.
Oh, then I would scratch that.
Known this person for nearly three decades.
Do I know this person?
Yeah, you know this person.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I still say
I just want to be careful because I don't need anyone like complaining they didn't get an invite. That's why I don't want to go into specifics of who it is. But you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
No names, please. Yes. I think both. So you got a combo of both, so you can't go wrong.
Okay.
And you throw in a little beer and say, hey, listen, I also figured I'd contribute to the libation.
Okay.
Station.
I like it.
I think you'll be good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's why. Yeah. Cause as soon as we're done here, that's where I'm headed. Yes. I'm headed straight to the store to pick up some, yummy goodies.
I think that's the call.
Sure. We're doing
And then you're going to be at Progressive Field tonight.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little, if I can get down there.
Daryl drank all the beer that he brought. He's not going to be able to cover the game tonight. Someone tell Keith Britton.
Yeah, that's what I need him to hear right now. Thanks, Matt. Kenny Pickett, tiny hand quarterback loving.
He loves you. All good. It's a holiday. But I like the 6:10 start. You know, a lot of these games, they're playing MLB games today during the day. And
we're at the point where the games end before the sun sets. I love it.
Exactly.
It's great.
6:10, I love that for tonight. Sure. So you got plenty of time to have a good time.
I had a little freak out moment on my way into the office today too. Cause I have a very weird, sleep habit, which is basically I sleep whenever my body says sleep. And sometimes it's very difficult for me to go to sleep. So, but when I have to work in the mornings, I set my alarm, and I set multiple alarms on my phone because my worst fear is that I sleep in, right?
You get that phone call at 6:05.
Right. Where are you at?
Yeah.
So I wake up naturally, beat my alarm by 45 minutes. That was problem number one. So then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to lay here, eyes closed, try and just get through this. Get as refreshed as I can before I actually have to get up. So then I get in my car and I'm driving up 71 and I look out and I see the sun's coming up. And my foot started to get heavy because I started to have a panic attack.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm looking at the clock in my car, and then I'm looking at the clock on my phone. I'm looking at my watch. Now all the time is matching up.
So you're like, I'm all right.
But no, I'm not like that. I'm like, I'm late. I'm still thinking I'm late. I wasn't, obviously.
It is that time of year.
I know.
Same thing today. I mean, eyes open about 5:20, and I'm like, wait a minute. It's almost light out.
I actually thought I woke you up this morning. I felt really bad.
I know. I was up. It is that crazy time of year. But
I do love the I'm not a big fan of the early sunrises in the summer. Big fan of late sunsets, though. I love the post 9 p.m. sunsets. It's the absolute best. It really is.
Hopefully the fellas can get a win tonight. I mean, the Dodgers coming in is always intriguing. It's that first game back from a long road trip, too, where it's always tough to kind of get your body back to where it is. I know Stephen Vogt had Kwan sitting yesterday and Santana and some others resting. So hopefully they get it done. It'll be a good crowd tonight, certainly for Ohtani. And
I was going to say, I think they should have a good 3 days at the ballpark.
For sure.
Dodgers, defending world champs, they're not – they don't come to town often. You got Shohei. Yamamoto's on the mound tonight. Like, I think they got an opportunity to have themselves a good couple of days at the gate. And there's nothing better than a packed ballpark in the summer. Or a ball where there's like over 25,000. You feel the buzz of the crowd, right? You got the press box windows open because you're not freezing cold anymore, and you feel the buzz of the crowd. You can smell the food. Like there's nothing better than summer baseball. Then of course Memorial Day is the unofficial kickoff to summer, and then Labor Day
is still cold, dude.
I know. Like
that's what sucks. About I know. Tonight. It's
I turned my heat on. I turned my heat back on.
It's nuts.
I'm a freeze baby.
I think it's going to be like 60 tonight, 58-ish, which sucks. Like, you're right. It's May 26th. What are we doing?
It's still hoodie season. I'm wearing a hoodie this morning. Like, it's still hoodie season for me. I wore a hoodie yesterday. And then, of course, when the show was over and I was walking in my car, I'm like, I guess I don't need the jacket right now because at least the sun is helping. It's chilly, but the sun is up there and it's helping. We like sunny days this time of year. And the sun, I'm looking right now, sun is out, so... But it's not nearly as warm as it might look. It's that deceptive weather, but it is supposed to warm up this week here in Cleveland. That's good news. I saw some 70s in the forecast. So yes, thank you for that.
Tomorrow 73. Thank God.
Can turn the heat back off and open the windows in the house again.
Oh my gosh. Thursday night at Comerica Park. And obviously Tanner Bibee pitched great and they won, but it was spitting rain and like 56, 57. Oh. And it was just a bunch of people texting me like, you're sitting in this? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, because I'm a sicko. But like, it was not baseball weather at all. And the guys grinded it out and won. But it was just, a couple guys, you just saw some bad swings. And then there was the pop-up that Lane Thomas lost kind of in the rain and the cold. And you're like, this is not baseball weather.
I almost felt like they had to play that game coming off of what they went through in Minnesota.
It's brutal.
Right? I mean,
that was brutal.
It was
like 40s though in Minnesota. It was freezing.
But because they had the two rainouts, it was like they had to get it in. There was a couple years ago where the weather was just it was miserable, and like they were playing doubleheaders in August and September. It felt like at least two doubleheaders a week.
2 years ago, didn't they have like 11 rainouts?
Yeah.
Like they almost set a record. And
you're right, because
they got some games to make up in Minnesota, and then that would have been they aren't coming back to Detroit until September, so that would have been brutal. But
what's your go-to in a rain delay?
What's that?
What's your go-to in a rain delay?
At the stadium or just?
Yeah.
I'm guessing if you're on your couch,
you just change the channel.
I like walking through the entire concourse. Like, I'll do a lap.
Okay.
Because people standing around, and then you get folks bumping into you. It depends on what ballpark, obviously, you're in.
Yeah.
Comerica, you can walk. Progressive Field, you can walk. And then, trying different foods is always fun. But there were a couple of drunks the other night on Thursday that were just – they were not going to their seat. They were going to be in the concourse, and they were just – pounding beers and finding the next brand that was at the next spot. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Drunk people at a baseball game? I'm shocked.
It was it's like, if you're not gonna be at your seat, you might as well drink, I guess. I guess that was warming them up, but I walked kind of past those folks as I was visiting with some friends.
I guess as long as they didn't like have it, you know, in an IV going straight into their veins.
No, it wasn't too bad. And for somebody like me wearing Guardians gear, the Tiger fans are pretty good. They left me alone. It's not like when I went to Lions Raiders a couple years ago at Ford Field and all these poor Raider fans were just getting an earful. I mean, it was or Brown Steelers or anything like that.
Yeah, but if you go to you're getting an earful, like that's just that. If you're in your opponent's stadium, you're getting an earful. That you're just asking for
football. Yes,
you're just asking for it.
Baseball. I mean, I had a shirt, a Guardians like hoodie. That was it. I wasn't like in full uniform.
Okay. You're not one of those. You don't like dress in full uniform.
No.
Okay.
No. But I will be getting a Kenny Pickett jersey after doing the show with you.
Well, so. You know what? Jonathan Peterlin had his Shedeur Sanders jersey in February. So, and, you know, I'm waiting for him to give me the lotto numbers. He knew the Browns. He knew Shedeur Sanders was going to be a Cleveland Brown, got his jersey ahead of time. So, you know, next time I see you, I mean, I'm expecting to see you in a Kenny Pickett jersey.
But he didn't get a number 12, did he? Because that was
well, he got a number 2, and I told him all he has to do is just get a piece of tape for the 1, put it on there, and he's done.
We've seen plenty of taped jerseys, Browns jerseys before.
Why not? Yeah,
nobody puts tape on jerseys and puts names over other names like.
Yeah, Peterlin's married. I don't think his wife's letting him go out and buy a number 12 jersey. Hey, Matt, this has been a blast.
All right, Daryl.
Great to spend time with you. It's been fun, but yeah, we're done. Well, I want to thank Meredith Kane spinning the dials here at the flagship, doing a great job as she always does. Mackenzie Flume killed it on the 2020s, and of course, thanks to you for listening and participating. For Matt Derry, I'm Daryl Ryder. Have yourself a wonderful Memorial Day. Enjoy the barbecue. Spencer German, Anthony Lant, they're coming your way next, right here on The Fan.